2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for, the sports you love.
We're not going anywhere. We're right here.
With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Inbounder. Clark gets it in. Gets it back with 10. Clark double teamed along the baseline. Throws it up the floor. Intercepted by Haynes. Pegues for three. And the win. He got it with 2.2 to go. 68-67 Paladins. Virginia calls its final timeout. They get it into Beekman on the right side. His three on the way. No! No! And Furman wins it! Furman wins it! J.P. Pegues getting mobbed by his teammates right here in front of us. The Paladins win it 68-67 and knock Virginia out of the tournament. Furman's first appearance since 1980 will not be one and done. Tom Van Hoy, look at this scene here on the floor.
Welcome on in. It's Unrivaled 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. You might be asking yourself, hey, why are you playing that? Why are you playing the Furman audio over maybe, you know, Utah State just finished up their game. They fall to Missouri and are out of the tournament. Still have not won a tournament game since 2001. So Coach Odom and his team, fantastic year, though. Can't take that away from them. But if you're wondering, every single member of Unrivaled picked the number 13 Furman Paladins to beat the Virginia Cavaliers yesterday.
Hey, there's some things you can pick and some things you can't pick, okay? Not going to get into some of the specifics right now.
Hold on.
But I am going to tell you, we can pick Furman. That's what we can do.
That's what we did.
We did it.
We did it.
We did something right.
And you know what? Part of it was this, and I almost talked myself out of it. You remember when we had Eli Baker on, asked him about it. And he goes, yeah. I kind of like Furman against Virginia, and I said, yeah, right. Those guys, that's the only number one seeded team to ever lose a couple years ago against UMBC against a 16 seed. Now they came back the next year and they won the national championship to kind of just, you know, emphasize like, hey, we're not going to be embarrassed like that again. And then here they are losing to another high seed or low seed, however you want to put it. Can you please tell me what a paladin is, Scott?
I have no idea.
Well, let me help you.
Okay, please do.
I thought it was a rank in
this
Star Wars.
This is what I like about our show is it's educational.
I give old
Kiri over there an education every day, but he's going to give me one today, so I like this.
Okay.
Give and take, right?
I thought that a paladin was only in
paladin?
Star Wars. Paladin. I don't
paladin.
Know. Any
paladin?
Of the, any of the 12 peers of Charlemagne's court. The court of Palatine was the chief. So They're called the 12th. They're warriors. That's all you need to know from the 8th century, from Charlemagne's court in the 8th century.
Of course. Yes, of course.
So it's not a Star Wars term. I thought they were named after Star Wars.
Speaking of education.
Yes.
Do you know what Cookie Crisp cereal is? Are you aware of
Cookie?
Yeah. You know what it is,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, for sure.
It's just straight cookies.
Yeah, but they, I mean, but it's fake. It's not real cookies. When I was a kid, it was one of the cereals that I wasn't able to ever convince my parents to buy me. But you know what? When I ended up getting them, I went, this is not all it's cracked up to be. This is puffed corn cereal.
This is cookies.
Okay, fine.
Cookies and milk.
Cookie Crisp. Remember that guy? There was a police officer and a dog. I have no idea what they had to do with cookies.
It's really when they took cereal too far. Because breakfast cereal is actually pretty good. There's
this
a lot
why,
of really
this is
good
how you decided to start the
breakfast
show.
Breakfast cereals.
Huh? All right.
I don't know. I just heard it the other day.
No,
I
it's
just,
good.
I know it was around when I was growing up. I just wondered if it was.
It's like
your
those
generation.
Things when somebody goes, hey, so and so passed away today. And you go, oh, shoot. And then you go, I thought they were already dead. If somebody would have said, Cocoa Puffs are out, I'd been like, I thought they were already gone.
You're talking about Cookie Crisp?
Or sorry, Puffs? What did I say?
You said
Count Chocula?
Yeah.
Oh, Cocoa Crisp.
Yeah.
All right.
Cookie
joining
Crisp.
Us on the
Cookie
program
Crisp.
Right now, it is the start of the show. We've got Sam Farnsworth on the horn here with us live from Sacramento as Utah State falls to the Missouri Tigers. Something tells me, Sam, that everybody and their dog picking the Utah State Aggies, not just here locally, but across the board, they were actually favored in Vegas. That was probably one of those things you go, okay, I don't like this. We're an underdog, and then we don't do ourselves any favors here because everybody's picking us. How did this game roll out, and where did the Utah State Aggies end up losing this basketball game?
Well, before I answer that, I'm going to get to the most important subject, which is back to Cookie Crisp really quick.
Thank you.
Yeah. Back to Cookie
I'm
Crisp.
Telling you, look, Scott, I'm a big fan of you, Scott. I love you. But
uh-oh, here it
Cookie
comes.
Cookie Crisp is not just cookies. It is by far an inferior version of a cookie. It's just cereal. Now, if you go get one of those to-go cups of Chips Ahoy and pour milk in it, now you've got yourself a real treat.
Yeah.
I have done that before. I am just saying that's delicious. Right.
I think you've started a new brand of cereal right there.
Yeah.
Chips Ahoy.
Chips Ahoy cereal.
Cereal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sam,
what
happened
that's
in that
all
game
they gotta
tonight?
Do.
Yeah. What happened in the game this afternoon to the Aggies?
Well, shooting 16.7% from the three-point line definitely did not hurt them did not help them because, as we know, the Aggies, they're a great three-point shooting team. Stephen Ashworth, one of the best in the country. He shoots 44% in the regular season. He made 109 three-pointers, and he's 2 of 10 today, right?
Yeah.
Taylor Funk was 2 of 10. They just – that really hurt. They got the open looks. It was just one of those days where the shots did not fall. The turnovers killed them, especially in the first half as well. They had 15 for the game there. So that was just another area where they didn't do themselves any favors because they were in the game all the way until about six and a half, five minutes, that kind of area of the game. They were in it until Missouri went on that late run. And it just – nothing went in their way. They had an opportunity to win the game even with everything going against them, and they just couldn't get it done because the shots just never started to fall.
So this is March, and it's also a madness time.
You can say March Madness because we're not selling anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, just want to be sure.
I got you.
Yeah. And, you know, I think back to a couple of years ago, we were sitting here on March 11th, and we basically the sports world was shut down, and March Madness was a part of that. And it's such an exciting thing. You know, you talk about a team like Utah State that typically, you know, they're a really good shooting team, and they struggled. And you wonder if it's the pressure of the tournament, you know, the excitement, whatever. I'm curious. You know, this is just the start, and you're out in Sacramento right now. What's the vibe around there? Are people excited to be at these games? You know, and is this an exciting tournament? Where is the feel of everything?
Yeah, it's just like imagine with this will be easy for everyone to imagine as basketball fans sitting in your living room or whatever, wherever you want to watch these games with your buddies, and it's, you know, two or three or four of your good friends watching these March Madness games, and just how you scream and yell at the TV about two teams you've never seen before or cared before. Well, that's what Golden One Center is like here. Even though Utah State and Missouri were playing in the early game at halftime, they were putting up the games on the big screen we saw the crazy end of the West Virginia-Maryland game and then the crazy end of the Furman game, and this arena was just erupting, right? Because these are just a bunch of college basketball fans. At the end of the day, everyone loves March Madness, and you don't even have to be a diehard fan. You understand what it means to be a 13 seed beating a 4 seed. Everyone knows that that doesn't happen that often, that it's not supposed to happen, and so they get excited about it. And so, yeah, the vibe out here, and, you know, I've covered a few NCAA tournaments in the past in Denver, and it's similar. The vibe at an NCAA tournament, whether you've got a team in it or not, is just a really fun atmosphere. It's an exciting atmosphere, and it's certainly one of those today here in Sacramento.
Sam Farnsworth joining us, KSL 5 Television Zone. Sam Farnsworth joining us here from Sacramento, where the Aggies fall to Missouri in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Obviously, you know, these first couple days are so much fun because there is so much hope for these lower-seeded teams. And there's a lot of folks who come into these tournaments with momentum, and it almost doesn't even matter. If you're one of these high-seeded teams, you have to watch your back now. How can Virginia, after losing to a 16 seed just a few years ago and then winning a national championship, how do they go from that and then losing again to a 13 seed on the first day of the tournament?
It's wild, right? I mean, I think it says less about, you know, maybe Virginia and their coaching and their preparation. It says more about the state of college basketball in general compared to, you know, 15, 20 years ago. I think the power in college basketball, you'll still have the power programs out there every year that are always a contender for a title, but the lower end, you know, the mid-majors of college basketball have become a lot stronger over the years, and it's to the point now where it's not just the 12-5 where you expect to see an upset somewhere along the road. It's to the point now where I think you could legitimately expect, you know, 10 lower seeds in the first round to advance, and maybe even more, you know, in the NCAA tournament. And that's just, I think it's great for the sport. It's great for college basketball and just sports in general. And I'll steer this into college football, but it's exactly the reason why college football has needed to expand its playoff for a long time now, because you get an opportunity to some of those other schools out there, a Mountain West Conference champion or, you know, a CUSA champion, to actually make some noise, you know, create some drama and pull off some upsets. So college basketball is just a great example of it. And, you know, so Virginia, yeah, it's just a crazy story that they have. But without a doubt, it's just another sign that the strength of college basketball from the bottom to the top is the gap is narrowing.
What are some of the games that will be coming up where you are that will be very interesting, you think will be intriguing, even possibly another upset?
Well, it's halftime between Princeton and Arizona right now, and it's a one-point game.
Yeah.
And every time Princeton scores a basket, this arena gets loud.
I love it.
And you know, there's a bunch of Princeton fans, but you know it's just fans of all these other teams here that want to see an upset, right? And so that's just one of those games where again, that's the one that's going on right now. That's the one that we were all glued to because you definitely have the Wildcats on upset alert by halftime.
A 15-2 upset is, you know, almost as good as it gets, and it's one that also has happened very rarely, but you see it periodically, and these teams getting up for these games is really fun. Coach Odom and the Utah State Aggies, their season that they had this year, I mean, to be able to get back to the NCAA tournament, you know, a couple of years after you have Craig Smith going to Utah and taking a lot of those guys with him, how big of a deal was it that, speaking of guys who beat the number one seed overall in the tournament, what did he do? What did Ryan Odom do this year that put Utah State back immediately where we've seen them so many times?
He pulled a group of guys together and got them to, I know we use this term a lot in sports, but he got them to buy in to the belief, okay? A Ted Lasso believe type thing, right? They totally bought into the belief that they were better than the team that was predicted to finish eighth in the Mountain West, that they were a team that could contend for a conference championship and go to an NCAA tournament. And that's exactly what this team ended up being. And I think they caught a lot of us off guard throughout the year, because I certainly didn't expect them to be a, you know, a 26-win team at season's end. And that's where they were. And Ryan Odom, and it just says a lot about him as a head coach and maybe just the Aggie program in general that they are able to turn around from one coach to another and still continue to build upon the success that was once here. That, you know, major credit goes to the committee that searched for the new head coach and brought Ryan Odom in, because he certainly is the right fit right now here for Utah State, because now suddenly you've got a team, you know, wins at the NCAA tournament are big time, but just being there gets them on the radar a little bit so that he can go out and his staff, and when they recruit, they can sell that to the next batch of kids that are coming in. So Utah State's in a good spot right now with their coach. How long he stays at Utah State, we'll see. You know, because Craig Smith, when the right opportunity came along for him, he was able to move on. But right now they've got the right man for the job.
Sam Farnsworth live in Sacramento, California, where the Utah State Aggies have fallen in the first round of the NCAA tournament to the Missouri Tigers, 76-65. Your final. Safe travels back, Sam, because I know you guys put some extra miles on the KSL sports truck, and so you guys get back safe, and we'll see you back here in Salt Lake.
Will do. Thanks a lot, Alex.
There you go. There you go. There's old Sam Farnsworth.
Did they drive?
Yeah, they did.
Oh wow.
That's a 10-hour drive for those guys. Here's the other thing. I mean, it was a gamble. I mean, all these teams, you do all this, right? You get so excited for this whole thing. And this is why the Furman win is a big deal, because they haven't been to the tournament in 43 years, right? The last time they were here was 1980. And they go in and they go, you know, we're probably going to lose to Virginia, who was a national champion a few years ago. And, you know, who knows? Maybe we'll take a little bit of some mojo with us and see what we can do. And they end up getting the upset. And then you just get to stay. You punch your ticket for another day. You get to stay for Saturday. You get to take on another team and just see what happens.
Well, what a lot of this tournament's about is you don't have to beat a team, you know, 10 out of 10 times or in a series of 7 games. And there's always the possibility of beating that better team on a given day. Everyone can have a bad night or afternoon, whatever it is. And that's the excitement of this tournament, is it's just one and done. And I know you're going to laugh at me and say, that's Captain Obvious there. but it is. So it does give these teams that maybe are not as talented or maybe not as good, they have a chance, because you just gotta win that game. And so now they go, hey, we don't have to win the next 10 games. We just have to win this game, because then it puts them in the Sweet 16, and you start to kind of see that there's hope or there's some belief in what's happening. And you look at Utah State, who probably should have won today and played abysmal, you know. So anyone can have that bad night whenever, at any given time. And that's to me just – that's what I love about this. I love that the pressure of it, you know, causes people to play different, to play tight. Some teams just play loose, and it's just fun. It's a great sporting event that we have.
That poor kid from Virginia who just threw that ball into nowhere.
Yeah.
I mean, we watched that highlight over and over again. They're down two. The Furman is down two with 12 seconds left, and Virginia has the ball. They inbound. And the guy just, I mean, beyond throws the ball away. I mean, that's the kind of thing where you go, what is going on? He did a skyhook from 90 feet away to who knows who, immediately turns it over. A three is hit immediately. That's one of those things. You think about classic moments in the NCAA tournament. Like, that's as good as it gets, because it was just such an improbable thing that happened, and that's what happens with these. So,
well, what stinks about that, too, is this guy has to live with this for – I mean, do you remember Chris Webber when he called the phantom timeout when they didn't have – I mean, you just have to live – I mean, we're talking about it a long time after it's over, and those are hard things, you know, because you work really hard, and you should win the game. Clearly, they were in a position to do it. The guy called timeout or do something. Maybe they didn't have any timeouts. Yes. Throw the ball off a guy's leg, but
they had timeouts because they called one immediately right after that three was hit.
Right. Yeah. So just call a timeout and
figure it out. But I do think it's interesting too, because when those types of moments happen, like, I mean, the Furman guys were going to the locker room, and one of the Furman guys says to his coach, they just catch it on their hallway on the way down. He goes, "Coach, who was he throwing it to?" Like, even the opposing team goes, "Whoa. How did we get that gift?" Yeah. You know, and so it's,
people panic
it's
under
pretty
pressure.
Wild. Yeah. It's pretty wild. Okay. Well, so there you go. I appreciate Sam joining us here on the program.
Yeah, it's fun.
We didn't play our cut intro, but I want to tell you the show, as always, is brought to you by the folks at G2G Bars. All natural ingredients, no preservatives, plenty of protein. G2G Bars, perfect for anybody who needs that quick, tasty, and nutritious boost. It's in the refrigerated section at Costco, Associated Foods. I picked one up late last night at Harmon's, so you can do the same. They're usually right up there by the checkout, which is bad news for me because I'll buy a handful of them and try not to eat all of them on the way out to the car. That's kind of my goal.
It's a lofty, admirable goal you have, Alex. It's really good. I like that.
Okay, so the rest of the day here, when you're looking at some of these in terms of an upset watch or that Arizona-Princeton game, one-point game, Arizona's a two-seed, and they're up 31-30 over Princeton and the second half is just about to start up here. Alabama taking care of business against Texas A&M Corpus Christi, 89-69 right now with 2 minutes left in that one. Alabama's one of those teams there are a lot of brackets out there that have Alabama winning this thing. They're the number one overall seed.
They look pretty good. I was trying to figure out what the CC stood for. I thought it was at first community college. And I go, do they let community college in this thing? I didn't know that.
It's Corpus Christi, isn't it?
And then I was like, is it Coastal College? Yeah. And then Corpus Christi.
I only know that because
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I only know that because my niece just got her master's from there. So,
do they have Texas A&M all over the place?
Yes, they do.
Texas, it's all over.
It's
like Utah State.
Kingsville, there's like a Commerce, something.
It's like Utah State in Price, Eastern Utah.
No, Eastern Utah is its own thing.
No.
Utah
State, Eastern.
Yeah, yeah. You're not talking about the Eastern College of Utah. Is that a thing?
It's Utah's.
If you get your
Utah State,
the Kaysville branch that you can get your MBA at, does that have a team? Let's get them going. Let's get those guys going.
I think they have a Utah State in Heber, too.
Yeah, these are all all satellite offices of the big one. Yeah. And there you go. So the rest of the day, of course, we're keeping our eyeballs on this one. San Diego State in it with Charleston, that 12-5 matchups classic that people, look at and go, you want upsets. And I think what Sam, when he drew that picture of Princeton and Arizona playing one another, and Arizona is on a lot of Final Fours for teams. And so when you have a two lose, you immediately have brackets that get eliminated down to the Final Four for some people, on that side of the bracket. And so it's pretty crazy. When you have a game like that. And it's interesting because it's not like people are like, oh, dude, I hate Arizona. I'm going to cheer against them. You just want to see something wild at the game that you're going to. Princeton fans are there, fine. Arizona fans are there, fine. But there's also a bunch of guys who bought tickets and are there to see their team after the Princeton and Arizona game. And they're just cheering because they're like, I want to see a massive upset. I want to be kind of a part of history here, which is exactly what you get as Bruce Pearl walks out of the bus. By the way, this is a familiar ground for them. Aren't they playing? Isn't Auburn like playing in Auburn, Alabama? Like I think it's playing in Alabama. So it's essentially, and I think Alabama's in the same bracket. Like they get like basically a home game. And somebody was grumpy about it too. And I think that, I don't know. There's going to be some of that across the board because these guys don't have, I mean, there's just so much that you're trying to schedule. And
well, I don't think
they
Auburn
already have
is
going to
win the national championship.
No. No, but Alabama could. And so, and I think they're in the same bracket there.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on kslpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
Presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, welcome back. It is 97.5 DKSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Keeping an eye on some of these close games in the NCAA tournament. And when we see fit, we'll bring those straight to you and pop those in. We'll kind of do some live look-ins, some live listen-ins on some of these games here in the NCAA tournament. Just a fun time of the year to be able to avoid working. And one of the best inventions that I ever saw, Scott, was I think it was CBS or maybe it was like Coke Zero or something like one year. They had this thing where you had a boss button. If the boss was approaching, you could click it and it would go to some fake, your computer screen would go to like a fake spreadsheet. And so you could watch the tournament and this tournament streaming and you could hit the boss button and it would immediately turn over to like, do they still have it? They still have the boss button. And it goes to a spreadsheet, which that should be the first thing where your boss goes, you don't work in spreadsheets. Let me see what the tabs are that are open. We have a line of work where we are required to watch these games. So that's the good news.
And it's tough. I mean, it's tough work.
Well, we'll watch them for you. We'll give you the update. By the way, Unrivaled is undefeated with Furman right now. We all three of us picked Furman over Virginia. Yep. Makes you feel really smart. Until you look at all the other picks that you have.
We're master pickers. That's what we are. We can pick them.
My goodness. Joining us on the program right now, he is from BYU TV. You can also read his column in Deseret.com for the Deseret News. Dave McCann joining us on the program. What's going on, Dave?
You know, just knowing that you guys are here for us to update us on these games.
I'll watch these for you. I don't know what the policy is at BYU. Like if people walk by your screen and they see you watching it, if they go, hey McCann, get back to work. Although I don't imagine any person's telling Dave McCann to get back to work. But watching the tournament at work has always been a fun pastime for us here in the building. We're a media company. Come on, we got to do it.
Just watching sports anytime. I remember being at Six Sierra Park in fifth grade, and the Yankees were playing the Red Sox in the playoffs, and it was an afternoon game. And our teacher rolled in a TV and turned it on, and I don't know who won. I think the Yankees might have won. I don't remember anything I learned that year, but I just remember thinking I've got the coolest teacher at Sierra Park Elementary who's letting us watch a game during school.
Hey.
And then, of course, the NCAA tournament's always been a challenge to balance all that.
Well, that
was a fun thing when I was growing up. When we went and played for a state championship in high school, they shut the whole town down.
They let everyone out of
elementary school and the whole, you know, because this is small Springville,
that's
Utah
cool.
in the 80s. And, you know, it reminded you of Hoosiers, the movie. And of course, everyone went to the game. And that's what people, I hear them, they go, boy, I remember when you guys played for the state championship, they let us out of school.
Yeah.
You know, I was in like the fourth grade. It was the greatest thing in the world.
I don't want to one-up you here, Dave, but my 12-year-old Sunday school teacher rolled in the TV from the library, and we watched the NFC championship game between the Cowboys and 49ers one year at church. That was – and I thought I had the coolest teacher ever. My dad didn't think he was the coolest guy ever. But the love of sports.
That's a different level, rolling it in on Sunday school.
And you had to kind of fashion an antenna on those old TVs, so there took some rigging on that one
You couldn't flash a spreadsheet on that one.
No, there was no boss button.
Pop open the
And my dad was the boss, so we got in trouble big time. So here's the deal. Right now, as spring is in full swing for BYU football and basketball just wrapped up, there's an interesting time period here that they're going to go through with football, especially you have this small transfer portal window. And after spring, you make some kind of – you recalibrate and sort of reset yourself. And you may find some guys – or you may find yourself looking for a position in the transfer portal that you maybe didn't even think you were going to need to look for, I feel like. Is that kind of where they have to have an open mind about everything, Kalani and his coaching staff, to be able to figure out what's going on?
I think so, and remember on signing day in February, Kalani said that they were going to keep some scholarships available to see what's in the portal as they come out of spring, to see what needs need to be addressed. And, I mean, Keaton Slovis told me last night that they've got help coming in some key areas. And so the portal, this second portal window for football when it opens, I think we're going to see a lot of movement all around the country like we always seem to see. But now it'll be more specific because all spring practices, for the most part, will be over. Coaches know what they have, what they need. Players know where they sit on the depth chart. And you're going to see a lot of movement in those 2 weeks. And BYU, I believe, intends to jump on that. And I think they'll be a great benefactor for them.
This second transfer portal window is almost like a second Christmas. I mean, it's because, I think of back in the day where it's like, okay, this is your team. You got to live with it. And there was not a lot of probability of incoming freshmen who came in the fall, and even some JC guys that would come in, that they just don't have enough time to acclimate to your programs. But it's different now, and you can certainly go out and bring players in that can help you out. Do you have any and who might they be, players or positions that BYU is looking at with how much of spring ball they've gone through? When you mentioned, Keaton said, we already know, we already have help. Where do they need help?
Well, I don't know that specifically, except if you go back before spring practice, there was always the talk of maybe adding another receiver. They want to add some depth on the defensive line and at linebacker. And I think those three areas are areas that I'd watch for some immediate help. It's such an interesting time because and what makes BYU unique in this is right now the basketball portal is open. All sports, the rest of the athletes will open in May once all the spring sports are done. And then football opens up, April 1 to the 15th, I think. I'm just going off memory on those dates. But for BYU, this is the last, it's like the last melon from Ice Age. This is the last bastion of opportunity to get somebody to help you immediately in the Big 12, because the very next games are members of a P5 and Big 12 league. So they're always important, but this year is kind of important because it's the last chance to get help if you're a coach and you've got a need. So it's great that it's there. Challenging to get the right fits in that group, but for BYU again, it's the last chance to go. It's like driving down south, and here's the last gas station for so many miles. You're gonna get a soda. You're gonna fill your tank up. And then you go. But if you skip that gas station and you're running low on fuel, that's it for you. You're going to run out. And so I think every coach on campus is looking at this going, okay, who's there that can give us one last blast of help before our competition level jumps greatly?
Dave McCann joining us here on Unrivaled as we walk you through a little bit of what BYU's been doing in spring football practice. And I know you got to have a conversation with Keaton Slovis, and I think one of the things that Kalani said about this guy is he's used to being the starting quarterback in a place, and it kind of shows. What are some of the things that he's doing? Because it feels like sometimes I don't want to get people too excited during spring because that's a hard time to get people jacked up for a football program, but it seems like things are different this year at spring. How so?
He told me that it feels like he's been here forever. And I said, how so? You just got here. And 3 months ago, you weren't even thinking about coming here. And he said, I don't know. It's the culture around here. It's the way the players act. He goes, I got friends out here that I felt like I've had forever, and it's only been 15 days. He said it surprised him how much he has enjoyed the fit and has fit in. And I thought those were interesting. He said that, he heard all about the culture. He'd had radio shows talking about the culture years ago and poked fun at it a little bit, not mocking it, but just that it was different when his Trojans came here to play. And now he said, once you get in the building, he goes, I totally appreciate it, and I get it, and I love it. And he said, Kalani and Aaron Roderick, they're very businesslike. They're like, let's go out and have some fun. He said, they trust me. There's not a quarterback competition, so it's all business moving forward with Keaton marching them into September 2nd and beyond. And you can tell, and he said an interesting thing, because I asked him, look, you have 34 starts against P5 teams. That's more than anybody in this facility. Do the other guys notice that? How big of a deal is that to them, to Chase Roberts and the rest of the team? And And he said he sensed that it is a pretty big deal to them, that they respect it, they understand it. He's been in a lot of situations. He's been in big moments where he's succeeded. He's been in big moments where he hasn't. Diane Gonwoluku will testify of one with his interception to beat USC. And he said, you know, there's just this feeling as a leader, we're going to follow. And sometimes that's hard to get with a newcomer in a football team. But he said he feels it's unique with this group because they've never been where he's going to lead them. And he's been there before. And we've talked about that on this program a lot. But to get his perspective on that, where he senses that, yeah, that the experience I have, it is a big deal. And it's comforting to this team that's going somewhere where none of them have ever been. I mean, Jaren Hall played 11 P5 opponents. That's the most of any BYU player in school history. And Keaton Slovis has played against 34. That's a big number.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how that all pans out. And it feels like a good fit. When you said, you know, he felt at home, I don't know, I kind of felt the same way when I saw it and just hearing him talk and kind of interact. So that'll be interesting. You mentioned all these other coaches and these other sports. What are some of the feelings with these other coaches moving into a Power Five, you know, competition in a big program?
A lot of them will tell you their program's ready. Softball teams believe they're ready. Women's volleyball, women's soccer, they already play that kind of a schedule and have had national success. Men's volleyball is going to stay in the MPSF, and they're sailing along in their direction. So a lot of the coaches are confident and excited, but also know that recruiting has to step up. And if there's opportunities for immediate help, the portal's there. The portal can't build your team. It can enhance your team. I've always felt that way. And I think most coaches see it that way, a chance to get a slugger that has, for whatever reason, would like to come finish their softball or baseball career at BYU. Here's the opportunity for that to happen. Now it's up to the coach and his staff to know it and to pay attention to the portal in case somebody gets in the portal that can help. And then you got to act on it. And some sports need a bigger help than others, like men's basketball, women's basketball. They've already got 7 commits coming in. And so there's going to be some roster shuffling with Amber Whiting's crew as they get ready. But their recruiting class is right around the top 25 for the first time ever in program history. So they've got some momentum going that way. But, yeah, it's just any opportunity to make yourself better, and the portal gives you that chance. And I think that's the best way to use the portal. When you've got to have the portal to save you, I think that just puts too much pressure on everything being the right fit, because if it's not the right fit at BYU, there's usually frustration across the board.
Yeah, it's a harder place to make that fit, too. it's just one of the – when you bring in a lot more guys, too, and you expect all of them to fit, that's a tall ask for people who might not be familiar with what BYU does. Dave McCann, BYU TV, you can read his column there at Deseret.com, and he kind of gives a full update on what's going on in the spring and a blow-by-blow on what's going on with these guys in their spring and what's changing for the Cougs. So, Dave, we appreciate it. Get back to those tournament games, man.
Guys, it warms my heart that I'm on your speed dial. So thank you very much.
Absolutely. Dave McCann, there you go. BYU TV. See you later, buddy. All right. We will take a break here. We'll come back. We've got our What Are the Odds Around the Corner. Does your home need a new look this year? RGS Exteriors can help you out and get that look with the stucco, brick, vinyl, James Hardy siding, whatever you need. They'll make the outside of your home look updated, look amazing. So get that new look this year. 801-280-3110. That's 801-280-3110. RGS Exteriors. We'll come back. What are the odds next right here at 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone?
All in, baby!
You'll know exactly.
More or less.
What's going to happen?
This is 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. I've said for years, we got to get people to pay the subscription for the explicit conversations that happened during the... I guess they're not explicit.
They're just rather frank.
Colorful.
They're rather frank.
Yes.
So and Frank and then Bob and then Bill and Zach Wilson.
Hi, I'm Rather Frank.
Zach Wilson's mom.
Zach Wilson's mom. Hi, Rather Frank here. You may know me from such TV series as. So I got to get
you
into
were
some
Dan
things.
Rather. And but maybe he has a brother.
Maybe his
Frank.
Middle name was maybe his
Frank
middle
Rather.
Name was, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if he Rather Frank. If
like, if it was like called
Rather
out school,
comma Frank,
right? You way to pull that one off, Scott. You really that was good. Hey, Man Re Medical is Utah's only physician-owned and operated wellness clinic offering ED treatments that are discreet, non-invasive, and customized for your needs. Re Medical, renew, restore, reclaim. Visit remedical.com today. Scott, here's how. What are the odds goes? I give you a scenario. You give me a 0 to 100% chance that thing will or will not happen. San Diego State just beat Charleston. That was a 12-5 that got a little bit closer toward the end. 63-57 was
the
final.
Did you pick that game?
I had San Diego State winning that one.
Me too.
But
I'm telling you, we're pickers. We're yeah. master pickers.
I didn't have that. You had Maryland beating West Virginia, which
I
is
did.
Good for you.
Yep.
I was leaning on the Big 12 to come through, but no such luck. I thought Bob Huggins had it, man. I thought that – I mean, he's a guy who just knows how what it's like to be in the tournament. So anyway, bottom line is you can go see your bracket versus ours on KSLSports.com if you filled it out there, and you can kind of follow along as well. We give you a scenario, and you give us a 0 to 100% chance that thing will or will not happen. So Furman is the 13th seed. They're taking on the 5th seeded San Diego State Aztecs on Saturday.
Oh.
What are the odds Furman gets to the old – like that we see a 13 seed in the Sweet 16? Now that we've had a 15 seed in the Elite Eight, like
I picked San Diego State. So I picked Furman and San Diego State, and then I picked San Diego State.
Yeah, you're probably right.
So I think the odds are low because that's what I picked. So I'm going to say Barry Sanders 21% when he was at Oklahoma State. He was 21 when he was at Oklahoma State. Yeah.
1988 Heisman Trophy winner. Is that what that is?
Remember
that they're showing that UNLV team, or no, is that UMass? But I think about that UNLV team from the early 90s with Tark. What a freaking team to watch. Like, those guys were wild. Those guys, you felt like NIL deals were big time happening at that place, and they were. Anyway, I was trying to think in the Sweet 16, I found this number earlier, and let me see. So the lowest seeded teams to make the Sweet 16. You ready? Oral Roberts, a number 15 seed. Florida Gulf Coast, a 15 seed. Chattanooga, 97, was a 14 seed. Cleveland State was a 14 seed. LaSalle was a 13 seed in 2013. Ohio, a 13 seed. So it's happened. Bradley got in. So that's 3, 4, 5, 6. Six 13 seeds have made it all time, which is great. But that means your odds are super low that they're going to go on to the next round of the 13th seed.
Yeah.
So there you go. But that Valpo team, remember those guys?
Yes.
That 1998, the shot. That's one of those, that Bryce Drew shot that everybody remembers. That Valpo team was fun to watch. Okay. So what are the odds that it happens then? Did you already give me the number?
I did. 21%.
Okay. Barry Sanders. I'm going to go even lower. I'm going to go a Steve Young 8% chance.
Wow.
Yeah. What are the odds that Jamal Williams?
Why you picked Steve Young?
He popped into my head.
Okay.
What are the odds that Jamal
Stay
Williams?
Puff Marshmallow Man. That's what popped into my head. Just popped in. I don't know.
I know.
I was trying not to think anything, and I just. It's...
Jamal Williams going to the New Orleans Saints.
Yes.
Going to be reunited with his old teammate.
Mm-hmm.
What are the odds that Jamal Williams gets double digit TDs this season with the Saints?
Now,
what did
digits,
he have last
like,
year?
No matter
like
17? What?
17.
No
yeah.
matter, like, rushing and
everything.
Anything?
Everything together. Sure.
Oh, that's an interesting. So a double digit. So you just got to get to 10.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, they did pick him up for some reason, right?
Right.
But we don't know about Alvin Kamara.
Don't know, and I don't know how they're going to use him. I mean, yeah. I don't think they're going to be.
I'm going to say Steve Young, 8%.
Okay. Why'd you come up with Steve Young?
I heard it somewhere.
I'm going to go a little bit higher and not much higher. I'm going to go with a Jim McMahon when he played for the Bears, 9%.
Ooh.
Different from the 9 that he wore.
Can I change my?
Yeah, what's yours?
I want to go with Steve Young's teammate at the 49ers, Joe Montana, 16%.
Oh, you're going higher?
Yeah, please. I think it'll be a little bit higher.
Okay. All right. There you go.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome on in, everybody. It is Unrivaled, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keurig, Scott Mitchell, and you. Thanks for being with us on the program. Keeping our eyeballs on the old NCAA tournament here, some games of interest. Four-ish minutes left in that Arizona-Princeton game, 55-52, you just want to see something close. And what's funny is that even when you put your brackets together, Scott, you have a team like Arizona on there. You usually don't pick the 15 seed to beat Arizona. And you might even have Arizona going far, but you still root for that upset. You know where you go, oh, yeah.
I'm not rooting for an upset there. I picked Arizona.
See, that's a guy.
I don't care. I don't want an upset.
I'm one of those guys.
I want the picker.
I like the upset more than me getting a couple points in my bracket. Because I think I have Arizona losing in the Elite Eight. So, fine. I'd take a 15 over 2 seed. We already have a 13-4 upset from Furman today over Virginia. So, we'll keep our eyes on that one as well. We're jumping into the second hour of the program here. Let's jump in. We'll chat, and maybe we'll have to end up getting that first part of the game here if it gets close enough. We'll keep you up to date here, and we'll just bring it to you live. Let's start off the program, though, with the cut. Let's do it.
There we go. The unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
All right, the cut presented by G2G Bars. All natural ingredients, no preservatives, plenty of protein. If you're looking for that quick, tasty, nutritious boost, you can get it from the G2G Bar refrigerated section at your Costco, Holiday Oil, Maverick. 55-54 now, it looks like, for that Arizona game. Maybe we should dip in on that game maybe a little bit and see how the possibility brewing of a 15 seed upsetting a 2 seed. And we're, of course, carrying the Westwood One coverage all day on the 1280 signal. And so I think we've got that one right. So let's take a listen into that Princeton-Arizona game right here.
55-54. Updated now with that last miss. Princeton is 4 of 25 from beyond the arc in the game. You can listen to Westwood One's exclusive coverage of the NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament for free on the Varsity Network app. Listen to every game live or on demand. Download the Varsity Network app now and search NCAA Championships. Well, you said it early, Dan. The longer that Princeton hangs around, the more pressure goes to the shoulders of Arizona. And I would imagine that pressure is crushing right now for the Wildcats.
Well, it showed on the last possession. Courtney Ramey, a solid three-point shooter on the season, shoots it at 41%. He took a three 8 feet behind the line in front of the Arizona bench with plenty of time left on the shot clock. You've got to get the ball to the guy who's made the big plays, not only throughout tonight, but throughout the stretch of the season, and that's play through Azulis Tabellis.
Arizona ball out of the timeout. Tabellis with 22 in the game, 9 of 19. Looks like he's the man that may receive this inbounds pass from Pella Larson. Now Creese is going to pop out and take it near midcourt. Shot clock and game clock begin. Creese with it over on the right wing. Up top it goes to Balo. Back to Creese, right side. Creese to Larson, high on the left. Back up top to Creese. Right side to Ramey now. 10 to shoot. Ramey driving right. Gets inside. Drop it off to Bellis. Ball poked away. Out of bounds. Off Arizona.
Help side defense. Snuck in. Got a hand on it. Deflected it onto Ramey, but Ramey was standing out of bounds.
That would have been Arizona ball, but you're right, Dan. Ramey was out of bounds when the ball hit him. And so Princeton, a third chance now to take their first lead of the game. Langborg will handle for the Tigers. Langborg dribbling right down the lane. Puts it up on the run. Banked it in! Princeton has taken the lead with 2 minutes to go. 56-55 Tigers. First lead of the game for Princeton. Larson dribbling left, turns right, lost the ball out to Henderson on the right wing. Tabellis wants it, they don't give it to him. Instead to Ramey, now to Creese in the left slot. High right side to Ramey, 13 to shoot, driving right on Langborg, steps left, floats it up, missed it, no good. Rebound tipped inside, ball loose on the deck, and we've got a held ball. Possession arrow favors Arizona. 1:37 to go. Balo's going to check in for the Wildcats. One thing we should note, Arizona one timeout left. Princeton has no timeouts. So if you're wondering why the Tigers didn't call timeout right there, they don't have any to use. Look at the perspiration mopped up off the floor. Shot clock at 20. Arizona will inbound baseline right. Tubelis at the right elbow. Larson at the left. Bottle was on the right block. Rainey on the left. Creasa will throw it in to Balo on the baseline. Hand it back to Creasa. Up top it goes to Pella Larson. Larson one dribble back to Creasa. Right baseline. And he got it taken away. It's ripped away by Alaco. And Princeton has it back. 1 point lead. 1:25 remaining. Arizona coaches want their team to pressure. Here's Pierce right side. Bounce it to Awoma. Matched against Larson. Awoma starting to back his way in. Gets down to the right block. Turns middle. Puts it up in the left hand. No. Balo got a piece of it. Picks it up off the deck. Hand it off to Ramey. 1:08 remaining in the game. Arizona down 156-55. Risa directing traffic out front. Slides the dribble on the left. Look to Balo. High to Ramey. Wants a screen from Tubelis. Ramey driving right. Ramey inside. Puts it up on the baseline. That shot is rejected out of bounds. Langborg met him at the top. Arizona will keep it with 8 to shoot. Tommy Lloyd is going to use his last timeout. With 50.4 seconds remaining on the clock, Arizona calls time. They will have it with 8 to shoot. The effort by the Princeton Tigers today has been simply outstanding.
They have never given up, but for Arizona, they were trying to get into an offensive set. Tommy Lloyd was directing traffic, but they never got in the right positions. Ramey ends up getting the ball on the weak side, tries to create something out of nothing. Langborg, terrific block on the baseline. Arizona, with that baseline out of bounds, has to be aware of low shot clock, 8 left.
Be a VIP with the NCAA experience of the 2023 Men's Basketball Regional Round. Score premium March Madness tickets and exclusive hospitality access. A VIP experience for the VIP fan. Visit NCAA.com/VIP. Well, you just look at the body language of the Arizona players right now. We talked about it a moment ago. It's like they can feel the weight on their shoulders. Now, 8 to shoot. What do you look for here from the Wildcats down 1 as they inbound on the baseline?
Well, the ball needs to get into Tubelis' hands. Last few possessions, it's been they've tried to go pick and rolls with Creasa. One was a turnover. Second possession, they didn't get into anything that they wanted, leading to that Ramey ill-advised shot on the baseline. But if you're Princeton, you got to be aware. Two Arizona Wildcats are sub-60% free throw shooters, Balo and Ramey. If they get put in a bad position with one of those guys, you got to foul.
Creasa will inbound baseline right. Balo left block. Tubelis right block. Larson, who had been at the right elbow, is going to move into the right corner. Ramey is in the left corner. Ramey is the best three-point shooter on the floor at 41%. Arizona down 156-55. Winner moves on to take on Missouri in the second round on Saturday. Creasa takes the ball from the official, lobs it up the lane line to Tubelis, makes the catch, rips it through, dribbles left, leans in, puts it up with the left hand, front of the rim, no, rebound loose, Awoma has it for Princeton. 42 seconds remain. Pass goes up the right side to Pierce, matched against Tubelis, up the boards to Langborg, 19 to shoot. Over on the left side to Martini. He'll bounce it down to Awoma. Left of the lane, 15 to shoot. 30 seconds remain. Awoma backing his way in. Awoma gets it to Martini. Martini dribbles, bounces it down inside. Pierce wide open, puts it up. No, but a foul. He's going to go to the line to shoot two. Foul is going to be against Tubelis. That's his third. And free throws coming for Princeton with 21.7 seconds to go.
Zach Martini threaded the needle from the top of the key to the baseline with Caden Pierce. Patience on the catch, lift fake to get the bigs up off the air at the free throw line for two, where he's a 65% free throw shooter on the season.
0 for 1 at the line today is Caden Pierce. His first one is up. Got it. One more would make it a 3-point game. Remember, neither team has a timeout to use. Pierce with a big deep breath. One dribble, bends his knees, shoots. And that one is good. It's a 3-point Princeton lead with 21.7 to go. Inbound to Kreese. He'll let the ball roll to midcourt. Kreese runs the dribble across the timeline. Hand it off Larson. Out to Ramey high on the right. Ramey dribbles right. Down to the baseline. Cut off there. 14 to shoot. Ramey weaves out beyond the arc. Fires a three. It's an air ball. Too strong. Follow trying to save it inbounds. Does to Larson. Up to Kreese. Kreese fading three from the top. Left side of the rim, no. Grabbed by Awoma. And Awoma is fouled with 3 seconds left. He's going to go to the line to shoot free throws. And the Princeton Tigers have a chance to secure an upset win.
What a defensive possession and stand from Princeton.
Couple of desperation threes put up by the Wildcats. And now Tosun Awoma will go to the line with a chance to ice it. He has not attempted a free throw today. 65% on the year, and one free throw may be enough for the Tigers. It is a 1-1 for Awoma. Settles and shoots. Bounces and drops in. And that may be it. One more free throw for Awoma, but it's already a two-possession game. The Wildcat players are stunned. Absolutely stunned. Awoma calmly awaits the ball at the line. Awoma steadies. He shoots the second free throw. Back of the rim, no good. Pella Larson, the rebound. The horn is going to sound. The Princeton Magic is alive and well. The Princeton Tigers upset Arizona. 15 over a 2. 59-55 is the final score. The Tigers will advance to the second round. Everybody is on
there. You go.
Feet.
You heard it live right here at 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone, courtesy of Westwood One. Arizona is knocked off. The number 2 seed in the tournament has fallen to the number 15 Princeton Tigers. Princeton has had its own moments of Cinderella in this tournament, of course, over the years, Scott. But maybe this one, I mean, just absolute. We went. I think I went through and showed you the 9 lowest seeded teams in history. That have gone to the Sweet 16, and I think that there was that Princeton team didn't go on, but 15 seeded Princeton defeating the Arizona Wildcats in a shocker in Sacramento, and there you heard it right here on 97.5 the KSL Sports.
Yeah, we're watching it on TV, and it's just
isn't it fun?
It's just fun to see the elation of these everyone, because I don't know that they really believed they could win. Arizona was highly regarded, and then you watch on the other side of it, the Arizona fan. I mean, it's like they almost feel like it's the end of the world, when you have those situations where
they have this massive year. They do awesome in Pac-12 play. They Arizona basketball is a storied. You know, you think of those Lute Olson years, and you just go, but they ended the game on a 9-0 run. They ended the game on a 9-0 run as Larson from Arizona just shoved the camera from CBS out of his face. Or from TNT out of his face. Like these are the moments.
This is a big shocker right here.
These are the moments.
This is a big shocker here.
So did you have Princeton going to the Elite Eight, right? Isn't that what you had?
No. I had Arizona going quite far.
Oh, no.
So this is not a good thing.
I love it. This is what we live for. I mean, this is why. And again.
Can March Madness be over right now?
See, but that's the thing.
That's where I
this
am.
This is where you come as the competitor, and you can't, like, you can't give up.
Well, yeah. I mean, are you kidding? Is there a way to, like, can I have a do-over on these brackets?
Yeah, I have so many of these. I have so many of these games that I looked at and I thought, well, which one? Where do I have that one? So you can go to the KSL sports.com front page there and see some of the things going on here. I mean, you've already had a 13 upset of 4 today. You now had a 15 upset of 2. In the first set of games, I mean, on a Thursday to already have that, it's so much fun to have that kind of stuff happen. So I know your bracket is hurt, Scott, but like, yeah, you don't really have any dog
that's
in that
not very
fight.
Nice.
Jeremy just threw a who cares at him.
I want all the fun. Here's a sad thing though: if Utah State would have won, they'd have played Princeton.
All right, you don't need to rub salt in the old wounds buddy. But you know what? That Missouri team is vulnerable to this Princeton. you could see this 15-seed Princeton team going to – I could see them being this year's St. Pete. See, it's fun to say that stuff now. You have no idea. They could just get blown out in the second round.
Well, but that's the excitement of these early games, right? Because that's typically where most of the upsets happen or
yes.
first two rounds here. So,
yep. So I had Arizona losing in the Elite Eight to Creighton. What the heck was I doing with Creighton going to the Elite Eight over Baylor? I don't know. You know, just you don't know what's going to happen. So you just call
it. No one knows what's going to happen because look at what's happened today.
So right now, my Utah State Arizona picks from that side of the bracket, both of them lost today in that Sacramento with the Sacramento setup there. So I've got Furman and San Diego State. I got San Diego State taking on Alabama the next round. So we'll see. We'll see how this thing shakes out. But that's why we watch these games. Super exciting stuff. And you know, sometimes the 16 seeds do exactly what the 16 seeds are supposed to do, which is lose by 30, you know, to the number one seeds in the tournament. But every so often, because that was like Alabama, they won today. I think like, you know, they scored in the high 90s over Texas A&M Corpus Christi. So I think that you're going to see some more of those, but it's so rare to get a 15-2. And, boy, Arizona not doing the Pac-12 any favors, right? I mean, you've got on the other side of the bracket, the two-seeded UCLA Bruins, who are going to be that, you know, that possible hope there to be able to go further in the tournament. But, yeah, this is what we love. So right now – updates to some of the scores here for you. Illinois is trailing Arkansas 62-50 with 5 minutes left in that one. That one was a lot closer like 2 seconds ago, it seemed like. So that one's getting out of hand with that one. Princeton, like I said, 59-55 winners over Arizona. San Diego State defeated Charleston 63-57. So the Aztecs move on to that round of 32 as well. Missouri, of course, defeating Utah State today 76-65. And so if you're thinking about any other upsets across the board, there's another 15-2 coming up a little bit later. Colgate, the 15th seeded, I don't know. I know this joke has probably been overplayed, but what's Colgate's mascot?
The crest, right? Colgate.
They're the Raiders. That's right. The Colgate Raiders taking on the Texas Longhorns. But the thing is, even if you're a 15 seed, you've probably won 28 games, which they have this year. Like that's not, nothing to sneeze at. Jeremy, you have a stat for us. What is it?
So upsets, right?
Got it.
So over at Yahoo, 2.8% perfect bracket still after a couple of games.
After
2.8%?
2.88.
Yeah. I mean, usually you'll get through the first day and there's like, you know, there's a bunch of people who still have it.
And this is before the Princeton upset.
Right. Oh, throw that one down and
half percent.
You're going to be, yeah, there's a reason why Warren Buffett goes, I'll give you $1 billion if you get a perfect bracket.
So how do you still stay excited if your bracket's blown up?
You cheer for upsets. That's all you do. You want a high seeded team. Yeah, get yourself a 12th seeded team to the Final Four. Why not? Was it George Mason that 1 year? Did they go to the Final Four? Is that what they did? Yeah, they were 11 seed, I think.
Yeah, but you've already had your bracket and it's blown up. How do you still?
What did you have Arizona winning it?
They got to the final.
Oh, you have them going all the way to the final, huh?
Yeah.
Boy, that was a stupid move, Scott.
And winning it.
Oh, and winning it. Okay. So Scott's winner's out.
Right. I may be dumb, but I'm not stupid. I feel kind of stupid right now.
You know what? Yeah. That's the thing that happens on these first days, though. I used to get so caught up in where you were at the end of the first day. You just get so few points. Just have to rely on the fact that you'll still have some guys in that Final Four that might end up getting you there. So, but yeah, that final game adds up to because everything went on the first day is 1 point, and then down to the championship. The championship game is 64 points.
Oh, it's a point system.
Yeah.
Oh, I might be okay then.
Well, you just lost 64 points and 32 from the round before that for Arizona, and 16-8. So you needed those. The breath. Oh man, a 15-2 seed upset. I love it. A 15 over a 2, and Princeton. You know what? Like, they have some janky uniforms. It looks like that they're still in the junior high. Like, they don't have big NIL deals at Princeton, you know, because they're going to get them after they graduate from Princeton. They're going to be the ones that are going to make the NIL deals with guys.
You almost feel like people at that place are making them now. It's not even later. It's like right now.
Right, they're already doing the business
side.
They're
already doing the NIL stuff.
I have a conglomerate that I have. It's a network of about 6 collectives at big schools. What are you, a junior at Princeton? Yes. So there you go. All right, we'll keep you up to date if there are any more close games like this.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
Presented by G2G Bars. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, welcome back. It is one of our favorite days in all of sports. It is the first day of the NCAA tournament first round. Not the first four, the first round. It's the real first round. I'll say it. Two big upsets already today. A 13 seed over a 4 seed. That was Furman over the Virginia Cavaliers. I think the only other person
I hate today
at KSL Sports who picked the 13-4 upset was also joining us on the program right now. He is Mitch Harper, our BYU insider for KSLSports.com. You had the Furman pick over Virginia, right, Mitch?
I did, but I'm not proud of it now because I had Arizona in the national championship.
Yeah, see, you
you're
and Scott
right there
did
with
too.
Me, buddy.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
So
yeah.
That'll humble you quick. Well, how do we? I mean, how do we overcome this? You know, how do
Scott's
we?
Scott's trying to stay
how
excited
do we pick
about
ourselves
it?
Up off the floor, Mitch Harper.
Maybe Arizona just needs to go to another conference to prepare itself for the tournament.
Hey, Utah fans, didn't take that long, did it? We have a conference mention already a couple minutes into the interview here. But my goodness, this is – and, Mitch, you follow BYU. Obviously, you're the best in the market at following BYU and covering the Cougs. And, you know, Mark Pope's team on the outside looking in this year, that's kind of a depressing thing, but at the same time, like, we all agree that, I mean, I don't follow college basketball on a national level until right now, and that's maybe what makes it just so much fun, too.
It's true, and I think that, you know, with this college basketball, it's still this tournament, it's amazing how you get in a neutral court, and, you know, these games that you would think Arizona and Princeton in December would probably be a 20-point blowout in favor of the Wildcats. But in this stage, just the nerves, everything kind of can go sideways, and an amazing upset can happen. And, you know, for teams like BYU, they're going to, you know, try and get back one day to get to this tournament. You don't know when because, you know, the margin for error for BYU will definitely increase in the Big 12. But you go, where do you get 18, 19 wins? In their future league home. So it'll be a daunting task for Mark Pope and his staff to one day get back to a setting like this once again in the NCAA tournament.
I don't want to talk about basketball anymore. It's kind of over.
Now he's depressed. But
I do want to talk. We had Dave McCann on earlier, and he was mentioning Keaton Slovis and just his experience playing against Power 5 schools. And it's significant, much more significant, really, than anyone in the program. I'm curious your thoughts. What kind of impact is that going to have on him at BYU and going into this first season for BYU in the Big 12?
I mean, I just don't think he's going to be fazed by, you know, the type of defenses that he's going to face. You know, he's seen big stages. He's been in programs that have, you know, faced pressure and scrutiny. I mean, USC, I mean, every week, you know, it was a dynamic where he's going in and his fan base probably wanted him to lose games because they hated the head coach so bad. And just, you know, like, so he's used to big stages. And so nothing that he's going to see this fall will probably faze him. And I think that's probably a good thing. Is it going to lead to BYU being in a bowl game? We'll see. I mean, it's still not out of the realm of possibility that BYU's a 4 or 5 win football team this year, because you look at some of the, you know, personnel issues, maybe at linebacker and some of the other spots, there's not much depth. Wide receiver, there is some real concerns there for BYU when they come out of spring and they look to go to the transfer portal in May. But I think that Slovis has exceeded maybe what I was expecting from him to this point of spring. He has looked pretty good, really good, in fact. And, you know, will it translate to games in the fall? We'll see. But he looks very comfortable in Aaron Roderick's offense. There seems to be good alignment between him and Roderick. And you know, I think that he's also embraced as a leader. I mean, you talk with every teammate of his, and they all just speak glowing reviews about him as a leader. I think that kind of matters a bit when it comes to having a team that loses Jaren Hall, who was that leader. Keaton Slovis is trying to take that mantle after a year at Pitt where, you know, his leadership was questioned by head coach Pat Narduzzi.
So, I mean, we have to be careful with hyperbole, right? Because it's a freaking spring and we can overdo it sometimes when you talk about these guys and some of these, you know, videos, these little short video clips that you see coming out of Provo. I think fans legitimately could be excited about some of the things that are happening. But I think that what you definitely have gotten, and you tell me what it's looked like, what's changed? Because you've been down there for springs in the past and with Kalani even. And so what's changed? And is it really that wave of new coaches who've brought in what seems to be a lot more energy and changing a little bit of the culture, at least some of it?
The intensity from the defensive staff is night and day different. You know, yesterday there was a final play of the team portion, and it was a goal line situation. BYU's offense was on like the 1.5 yard line. And there were some questions. It looked like there might've been a holding penalty, and Jay Hill's just getting fiery. Like it's BYU versus Texas in the Big 12 championship on the line. He's losing his mind and he's wanting a flag. And I just think that his intensity and how he'll get in the face of players saying, you know, that this was wrong, this was incorrect. That's just different. We haven't seen that at all from anyone in BYU's coaching staff. Kalani, for the first 7 years of Kalani's tenure, there hasn't been anyone in BYU's program that's been that way. And it's different, and it's noticeable. And I think that's something that stands out. And I think that this defensive staff, and also the offensive staff too, to a lesser degree, but the defensive side, like, they're making it clear that they are nowhere near a finished product from a personnel side of things. So I was talking with Justin Enna yesterday, and he wants to go into the portal and get a guy or two at linebacker. He needs it. And, you know, he wants these current guys that are in spring to rise to the occasion and make the most of their opportunities. But they're not just handing jobs over because they know they're in the Big 12 and they're in Power 5 football and their jobs are still on the line no matter what. And they got to win and they still got to perform and be competitive at least. So I think that there's just, again, there's this urgency that no job is just given to anyone. I think in years past, you just kind of knew BYU's limitations and said, well, you're an independent and, you know, it's this world of NIL and, you know, this guy that maybe doesn't warrant a scholarship is going to stay on the roster just because. But I think those days are numbered. And I think that, you know, it's a very, you know, aggressive mindset. And that defense is going to be aggressive with Jay Hill being kind of the, you know, tone setter in all of that aspect. And I think from the offensive side, the biggest change too, I think, is that BYU's running backs are really, really good this year. Aiden Robbins has not participated in any team portion, but he has participated in all the rest of practices. He's going to probably be RB1, but then you got Hinkley Ropati, Miles Davis, and then LJ Martin's coming in the fall. They also like, you know, BYU's got, they've got players in that backfield, that running back, that they feel they go 4 or 5 deep at. And that is a new change. That's a new look for BYU. And that's also a good thing to help Keenan Slovis when you want to play complimentary football with that offense, that it's not just going to be a one-sided deal with the passing game. It's going to be, you know, they're going to actually have a lot of options at running back this year, even if they have some injuries in that backfield.
How much knowledge do schools have about the portal right now? I know it's closed, but you know, do they know of players out there, or does it just kind of all of a sudden start filling up with guys once the spring football is over?
Can they look even right now?
I mean, can you look and know of guys, and are there? Do you know of guys that are in the portal that may fit some of the needs that BYU has?
Well, our BYU support staff is when the analysts they're. They're very active when it comes to monitoring the portal. There's still guys that are in that portal. Look at a guy like Utah linebacker Andrew Mata'afa, was someone that took a visit to BYU a few months back. I mean, he's still in the portal. Maybe he could be an option for BYU. We'll see. But, you know, there are still guys there. And if you're already in the portal, you can be recruited. You know, and then that Utah State linebacker who just recently came in, I don't want to botch his name, but AJ is his first name. You know, I think that would be an option that BYU has to pursue too. Washington State could be in the mix there as well. But I just think that, you know, BYU will be in pursuit. And I think that, you know, when it comes to transfer portal recruiting, it does seem like there's always back channels that you kind of sense when someone is trending towards making that move. No one's going to ever go on the record and say that. But back channel recruiting is happening when it comes to the portal, sensing who will enter and then pouncing at the moment when that guy is in the portal and maybe making that, you know, getting that deal done as soon as possible. that is a thing that happens. We've seen it a little bit with basketball with that Utah guard Saunders, who ends up immediately at McNeese State. So that is a thing, and you got to just kind of know, have those connections that you turn to in the recruiting world, and kind of get a sense of who might be exiting, because you know a lot of these guys keep in touch with their high school recruits still, or their high school coaches rather, and so you can kind of get some intel there. I mean, there's various ways to kind of forecast who might enter the portal, and then kind of getting a sense of other programs' depth charts potentially, and a lot of that job rests on the analysts, and I think that's why it's so critical to have that extensive support staff that goes beyond the 10 full-time assistant coaches. You know, BYU added a guy from Oklahoma State this year, and Braden Kearsley, a former offensive lineman, who was kind of a heralded recruit back in the day when BYU was incorporating the go fast, go hard offense. He comes over from Oklahoma State. They've got Matt Mitchell, who was once at Baylor with Jeff Grimes. They've got Al Papunu, who was he was a coordinator at Weber State, if memory serves me right. He was also working at Colorado. So they've got some, you know, pretty good analysts on this staff. Sure, they'd always like to have more if they can and have those resources necessary. But, yeah, those guys are the ones that are combing the portal and keeping tabs of everything that happens in that. So when you get to May 1st to 15th, that next portal window, this coaching staff can go into attack mode and really try to bolster their roster for the final push before the Big 12 starts and kicks into full gear.
Back channel recruiting is one of my favorite pastimes. Right at the end of football games, you watch players from the two teams go and greet each other, and you just watch the players that go up to the opposing coaches.
And the coaches go, you know, I just have a ton of respect for that kid.
You just see there's just a conversation that goes on, and it's like,
I just wanted to tell him I loved him. You know, I think his family's great. You know, I mean, we call it poaching. We call it tampering. Back channel recruiting is a way better way to put it in 2023. Mitch Harper, BYU insider for KSLSports.com. You can read his byline there. Get caught up on spring, and you do get the vibe that that defensive staff is right now running just on an insane amount of energy and bringing it. And so does Mitch Harper. So if you want to get everything that comes to BYU, KSLSports.com. Mitch, thanks for hanging out, man.
You bet, guys. Take care.
There you go. Mitch Harper. I think you just have to have that balance in the spring of going, hey, that's cool. That's awesome. And then moving on, like, you don't want to just dive too far into, like,
it almost
sometimes
feels like,
these depth charts are just, they change so much even before fall.
It almost feels like spring football is about what we're going to take or what we're going to offer to the transfer portal and what we're going to get out of it.
I'm sure
the coaches go, look, we need your scholarship. You need to move on.
Or they go, dude, you're on the cusp here, and if you don't show me you have something, then I'm going to ask for your scholarship. Like, we need to have that conversation at the end of spring. So maybe that's why you get a little bit more intensity. As Arkansas just defeated Illinois, the 8 seed defeating the 9 seed in the NCAA.
Got that one right.
West region first round. Hey, good
freaking
for you.
Freaking Arizona.
What did Mitch call him? He goes, isn't that a four-corner school?
Boy, they really want to.
Boy, Mitch went hard without even going that hard.
Yeah,
man.
He did.
It was good.
It was good.
We'll take another break. When we return, we will chat a little bit around the corner. We do have I want to continue a little bit more of that conversation about the quarterback, because you talk about transfer portal. BYU immediately, I mean, they have a year with Keaton Slovis if he stays healthy, right? And then suddenly they're back to square one. How long is the transfer portal, like, dipping in there for major skill position? How long can that happen? And how much does it actually work? All right, we will come back. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
Presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Okay, final segment of this hour, and we welcome you back. It is Unrivaled 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Join Hans and Scotty, by the way. They're going to be at Frugal Fitness, Frugal Fitness is going to be on their show tomorrow. FRUGLL Home Fitness, 40% off regular prices of professional level cardio equipment at your home. They deliver it, set it up, 40% off regular prices. Join them tomorrow on their show. Also, ReMedical, Utah's only physician-owned and operated wellness clinic, offering ED treatments that are discreet, non-invasive, and customized to your needs. ReMedical, renew, restore, reclaim. Visit ReMedical.com today. The quarterback question we just had, I just want to bring this up again because I think that it's great BYU has Keaton Slovis. But I think it's hard because there isn't, like, somebody waiting in the wings. I mean, there are. There are names that are in there. But I don't think that they're – it's hard to know what the development's like, Scott. And then you have – we were just looking over the Pac-12 early quarterback preview. And you just reminded me. You said, look, the quarterbacks in the Pac-12, it's an insane group.
Might be top to bottom the best in the entire country.
Read them off to me again.
Well, you have, of course, the
Heisman Trophy winner,
Caleb Williams. You have Penix, Michael Penix Jr.,
who might be the next Heisman Trophy winner.
You have Bo Nix, who just played phenomenal last year at Oregon. You have Cam Rising. You have Jaden Delora.
I thought he graduated.
Right, and so did I. You have DJ Uiagalelei. Mm-hmm. At Oregon State, who was, you know, one of the top recruits in the country out of Clemson.
Five-star guy, yeah.
You've got Shadir.
Shadir
Sanders.
Sanders.
And then you've got Cam Ward. Like, that's eight of the 12 teams in the Pac-12. Those are incredible names. I mean, it drops off.
Notre Dame's quarterback, Drew Pine, went to Arizona State.
And who knows what he could be. I mean, he's...
I didn't think he was fantastic, but
no, but he's not in that elite level, and that's the concern really for Utah. I mean, you've got Cam Rising coming back from an ACL tear, and you've got to have elite quarterback play next year if you're going to compete against what's happening in the Pac-12. You've got to be offensive. You got to be able to score. You got to be dynamic at that position because you're going to see some really, really good football in the Pac-12 next year. You really are.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig. Presented by G2G Bars. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 DKSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us on the program. 15-seeded Princeton, the Tigers have upset the Arizona Wildcats less than an hour ago. A 15-seed through on the first day, a 13-seed through on the first day, and everybody's brackets are officially blown up. And you know what that means? Just enjoy the ride the rest of the way. Scott can't because he's too competitive. He's like, I got to win the bracket in the office pool. If I don't, then I'm too much of a competitor. So Scott was like literally cheering for Princeton, the 15 seed, a Cinderella story unlike any other. He wanted him to lose just because he had Arizona win the national championship. I get it.
Not now.
Pride's hurt. So now throw it all out. We just gave you a bit of advice. Now, since your national champ is eliminated,
So should I just cheer for teams and not worry about the bracket anymore? Is that
1,000%?
So I just don't even care.
And whatever happens with the bracket, cheer. The math gets done for you, right? Yeah. It's already there. It's not like you have to go calculate it yourself.
Yeah.
And then just see where you're at the end. It'll all wash out. Nobody else picked Princeton either. You at least picked Furman over Virginia.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Actually, everyone else I picked has won, just not Arizona.
Oh, boy. Yeah, but that's a big one.
It's a big one. Massive one.
It's a big one. Let's hit the button here and let's get going with our cut at the top of the hour as we always do. Let's get into it.
The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
All right, the cut is always brought to you by G2G Bars. Unmatched flavor for a protein bar. Just absolutely delicious. If you want to try it, the protein bars are amazing. They're preservative-free, additive-free, and they're in the refrigerated section because of that very thing. They don't have a bunch of junk added to them. And like I said, they taste fantastic. Scott and I both love them. So Associated Foods, Costco, Holiday Oil, Maverick. That's where you can find them. And also Trajan Wealth, your local trusted financial fiduciary, 801-899-7600, or their website, TrajanWealth.com. All right, Scott. Yesterday on our program, Mark Harlan mentioned a president at these meetings that they had been having, a Pac-12 president who had mentioned, you know what? Everybody knows who the top two dogs are. And he talked about winning the bronze medal for that third spot among the P5 conferences. He seems to feel like they're going to be there. We're starting to get kind of people feeling like they have some solid numbers associated with it. But this is what Mark Harlan said yesterday about it.
You know, listen, guys, I've been clear all along. The other schools in our conference have been, you know, clear all along that we're together. We're 10. We've said it. We're working hard with our commissioner to get this deal done. It's a complicated deal to structure. There's high expectations with the ADs and certainly the presidents and chancellors to the commissioner to nail this thing so we can march forward, right? And because we're not hitting certain people's expectations of time and because of outside forces, you know, people start chipping away and they start creating things like four corners and, you know, whatever comes up, whatever causes the clicks, whatever it might be. So, yes, I read an article by a writer I actually have great respect for in Dennis Dodd, but the article had a bunch of things that weren't true. And, you know, Scott, even you, I heard you on the radio. I saw that, you know, that's it. The Pac-12's done, right? It causes these kind of reactions. And so when you're in the middle of the process, there are times you need to raise your hand up and say, whoa, 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 whoa. Right. We all know it's been really difficult to manage post LA schools leaving. But we've always had a plan, which was to work together and go out and get a new deal and let's go forward. And if there's some that we want to add, we'll look at that when the time's done. I'm very pleased with where things are trending. I think we're going to wrap this up pretty soon. I'm excited about the updates we're getting and we go forward. But I did that because I got tired of outside forces creating narratives that involve the University of Utah and certainly our conference.
Yeah, and from my perspective, it's not, well, the Pac-12's done. From my perspective is if a deal isn't done well, meaning that, it's not a good deal, you have to legitimately be concerned that it's going to cause unrest in the conference because I don't think anyone in their right mind thought USC and UCLA was going to leave the Pac-12.
Sure, yeah.
And that came, and no one knew that, you know. So you can, you know, and I'm glad the schools are out. Believe me, I'm glad that, and that they're together. And I really appreciate Mark Harlan's comments. But I also think you have to, you know, you have to make sure you take care of what you know what you're doing because if they don't get a good media rights deal, it's going to be hard for the conference to be around. It just is. There's just, I mean, come on. That's the reality.
So,
and the Pac-12 historically has been asleep at the wheel. I mean, that they really put themselves behind the eight ball, and it's not what's going on now. It's mm-hmm. the Larry Scott and all that stuff in the past. So I'm glad to hear all of this. Believe me, I'm elated by it. But you know, let's wait and see what happens before we come to some determination.
So. John Wilner wrote up an article about his conversations that he had with Arizona's president, Robert Robbins, who brought up that same thing about, yeah, we're looking for that bronze medal. I think we're solidly in a bronze medal spot in this. And you know, ultimately, I mean, he says, I think we'll be the third best deal out there out of the Power Five leagues. And John Wilner threw out a number in a tweet. And he said the magic word of $50 million per school, possibly. What would that mean if that were the number that popped up? I do think it's interesting that people are like, you know, having these little weird pissing matches about, well, our conference gets more money than yours. Like, and it was even by like, watch, you're going to come out. And it's going to be, even if it was like a cent less, people were going to be just up in arms about it. And so I'm less worried about that because in BYU's case, like it's more money than they've ever been able to get revenue-wise. And so it's a big deal in that sense. But $50 million, if that were the number, as John Wilner was kind of mentioning, if that's the number, what would that mean for the Pac-12?
Well, it would be huge. I mean, the Pac-12 has just a tremendous history. It's been regarded as one of the top conferences in the country in the past, and I think a lot of the Pac-12 TV deal, the playing at night when people don't see your games, it just makes it harder. I mean, there are so many players from the Western United States that go east to play football. I mean, if they stayed out west, you know, you'd be surprised at even some of the talent level. But we just talked about how many amazing quarterbacks are going to be in the Pac-12 here. If they get a good media rights deal, it'll be interesting to see if there's expansion that comes along with a media rights deal. That to me, I think, is interesting. Because if you can have 10 teams and have, you know, and each team clearly gets more of the pie, awesome. Because the college football playoffs are expanding, and you're gonna have competitive teams that are gonna be a contributor and be a part of that college football playoff situation. And as long as nobody leaves, that to me is the key. If you keep that conference together and nobody leaves, and you get a good media rights deal, and you get these players to see, because you're gonna see it this year. I mean, you just had the Heisman Trophy winner in the conference this year, and you're gonna see it. Even more this year, really good football play, and it might be that kind of tide is turning for the Pac-12, and it's going in a different direction here. Players don't care about how much you make in a conference; they care about an opportunity to play, and you've seen that with these quarterbacks transferring to these schools, and it bode well for the conference and some of these players this last year. I mean, Caleb Williams and all these guys. I mean, it was a huge benefit to them.
You know what I don't like is that the narrative has been like this Pac-12 versus Big 12 thing, and I think we were talking about this during one of the breaks. Everybody has been absolutely insufferable on Twitter about this, right? Like, it is insane the amount of vitriol that pops up about. By the way, no one's talking about quality of play. They're just talking about like. Right. Our house is bigger than yours. Like, yeah. My dad could beat up your dad, kind of stuff. These hypothetical things that.
But I think if you have the media rights deal, it speaks to how people perceive your conference.
Sure,
there's value in it, and they're
yeah.
Putting
so if it comes back low, then they're like they're headed down this way.
Yeah.
But see, in the Big 12 case, it's a 16 or it's a 14 team conference. What isn't that what it's going to be? Yeah. 14 team conference that is going to get $38 million apiece, and. Like I said,
it's a nice little conference.
Oh, boy. Did you hear
it's
that?
It's going to be a nice little conference there.
Patronizing
Scott
Mitchell,
I asked
everybody.
You this question the other day. And if we want to compare, like, the quarterbacks in the conference, and you look at the Big 12 and what they're going to have as their quarterbacks in the conference this year, it doesn't even come close to the Pac-12.
I think you mentioned it, too, because last hour we went through that list of – The top eight quarterbacks in the Pac-12 are all very, very good quarterbacks, very serviceable dudes, I mean, including the Heisman Trophy winner. And I think Michael Penix Jr. is actually better than Caleb Williams. I mean, he was second in the country in passing yards.
Might be.
I mean, he showed up, and all of his weapons are back. All of his wideouts are back. So I look at that, and I think that the conversation turns into, you know, I think you even pointed it out, too, because the top quarterbacks in the Big 12, they list –
Quinn Ewers is
number three. And that's a guy who is, as we've heard, solidly in a quarterback
He's
competition.
In a quarterback battle right now.
May and like,
not,
did you really
be the guy.
And have you seen a bunch of stuff out of Quinn Ewers that you were like, oh yeah, third best quarterback in the Big 12? And I don't know, where did they put Keaton Slovis?
Keaton Slovis
on the list,
is eight.
Yeah, he's got a little bit. I think for as much as everybody's praising him, he has a lot to prove.
He does. There's no question about it.
You think about that time that he spent. His freshman year at USC was very impressive. I mean, it was absolutely stellar. And then he loses that gig, goes to Pitt, and then even gets questioned by Pat Narduzzi about what kind of a quarterback he is, and doesn't have statistically a fantastic year. And then he comes to BYU, and everybody tends to go, forget about all the negative stuff. He's just an amazing quarterback. And it's like, well, he's got a lot to prove, which might actually be really good for your team. He's got stuff. He's going to try to put himself
like
in that conversation.
He could be like a Bo Nix. I think there was Bo Nix had a lot of hype and a lot of expectation, you know, and then it kind of fizzled out.
The negativity surrounding Bo Nix when he went to Oregon, though, I think is even more than what Keaton Slovis has had.
And so you get in the right situation, you can certainly turn things around. It's yet to remain to be seen if Keaton Slovis can do that. But it's been done. There's been a precedent, so it's not like it's never happened before. My point about all of this, though, is that the Pac-12 is going to have a lot of good football this year. I mean, a lot of really good football, and you just hope that along with it comes a good media rights deal. Things are going to change, moving forward. But if I'm a team and I go, do I really care what conference I'm in as long as I can compete to go to the college football playoffs? As long as it's comparable, I mean, it shouldn't matter. And the Pac-12 is a great conference. And you know what? It used to be the Pac-10. I mean, it's only been the Pac-12 for just a few years. So the Pac-10 is actually a more traditional part of the conference. Now, you don't have USC or UCLA, but it just feels like there's a lot more substance to the Pac-12 than maybe people are giving.
What's going
to
happen now is the deal is going to get done, and whatever that number is, if it is up to even that $50 million mark, then what happens is the conversation about expansion, right? Then you move on to that next part, stuff that's non-like actual sports-related, not actual playing things, but looking toward the future. The next part is, and that's what Mark Harlan kind of mentioned, was like, this is, you have these conversations, you get this deal done, then you can start talking about the possibility of expanding at some point.
And you have to believe that if that's the case, that there has to be an expansion, clause in the agreement where if the conference expands, then, who knows what happens. But having the ability and the flexibility to be able to do that, I think would be a wise decision. And who knows, maybe that's part of the sticking point, where the media rights partners are going, we need more revenue, we need more inventory, you got to have more games, you got to have more teams. And the Pac-12's like, but there aren't a lot of, really good options that fit our standard, our footprint, who we are as a conference. And because there's just not a lot of choices out there. So there just could be a lot of things to talk about and work through and figure out. And you've got 10 schools, and you've got these media partners. It could be one, it could be two. So, yeah, it is complicated.
Man, it's complicated. But I think you're starting to hear some of the stuff. Here's what Arizona State's president said about this whole thing. He said there have been no discussions with the Big 12 conference on moving. I mean, there have been discussions between everyone everywhere on all things related to where our conference is going and where stuff's going to end up and what's happening. But we are committed to the Pac-12. So that's the message was clear from the two Arizona schools, from Mark Harlan. You know who's not? I would assume he doesn't have any time for this. But like Colorado's like, hey, we're focused on the fact that we have this new coach and this is what we're doing right here. And I think that they're pissed that they're talking about these four corner schools, and which is always funny too because they're talking about the four corner schools. And New Mexico's never part of that conversation because they don't have a team that will be a P5 team. So stop talking about the four corner schools because one of the four corner schools wouldn't be involved in all of that. But I digress. $50 million, that's the number that was thrown out there today by John Wilner in a tweet. So I'd be interested to see
Colorado is I didn't even talk about Colorado, but it's a good point because Colorado is really a sleeping giant. Colorado has been a big-time program. It has the potential, and with Deion Sanders, Coach Prime, they could turn a corner, and they may do it in a hurry, and that even ups the cachet of the conference.
I will pay you $100 at Pac-12 Media Day if you call him Coach Neon.
So,
because he might walk away from our booth like very quickly, and we don't get the interview. But, that's just a risk you have to take for $100.
Yeah, I don't know that I would do that.
he gets pretty grumpy about not – if he loves being called Coach Prime. All right.
I would like to talk to him, though. I could have a fun conversation, that's for sure.
All right. Joining us on the program. He's been joining us all day, and he's trying to assuage your fears a little bit from the Teton Wealth Group.
Yeah.
Ethan Millard on the program.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
Presented by G2G Bars. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's our final segment here of Unrivaled, 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. Thanks for hanging out with us all day. And before we wrap things up here, Scott, you know what? Something that that rolled out during our show today, aside from the many large upsets in the NCAA tournament on day one, thank you very much. Michael Jordan, according to reports this afternoon, preparing to sell his stake in the Hornets, getting out of the NBA ownership game. He's worth $2 billion now, I would assume. I don't know what his – he is the majority owner.
So he bought the majority ownership in 2010?
How much was it?
It was valued at $278 million in 2010.
Come on.
You know what its value is
it's
today?
It's got to be $2
billion. $1.7 billion. Yeah.
And you know what it'll sell for is $2.5.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's valued at that.
I mean, sales down right now? Or
You know what he's doing?
How much did he say it's worth? A couple of billion dollars?
I got it. I already know what it is. He's selling it so he can afford that private country club thing that Tiger Woods is building up in Park City.
Oh, yeah.
Being a member there. Steep prices on those houses up there.
Yeah, these athletes today haven't the opportunity to purchase stakes in these professional sports franchises. It's a good move.
Smart, man. It is really smart. But that's a little bit of a bummer, too, because, like, there's this part, too, where you go, oh, Michael Jordan doesn't own an NBA team anymore. He's not in the front office at an NBA team.
See, this is what I think is he can't win. So he's just like, I'm out. I'm done.
I think he just has too much going on. I think he's doing other things and, you know, probably planning a wedding for Scottie Pippen's ex-wife and his son now. He's got to dedicate himself to that. Oh, boy. Okay. For Scott Mitchell, I'm Alex Keery. Jeremy, our producer, hitting the buttons across the glass here. We'll be back again tomorrow. It's 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent. It was senseless. And I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.